Hello and welcome, and thank you for joining us again today. This is your host, Brother T. Glad to be back with you today, and I'm joined by my beautiful wife, Reverend Claudia Renee. Good morning.
Good morning.
So glad for this time together. Thank you for joining me here in the virtual world. So we're going to be discussing Lesson 26 today here on The Best Hour from A Course in Miracles workbook. My attack thoughts are attacking my invulnerability. Before we begin, let's join together, Mighty Companion. Let's join together for a moment of silence and let's take a good deep breath. My attack thoughts are attacking my invulnerability. It's surely obvious that if you can be attacked, you're not invulnerable. You see attack as a real threat, and that's because you believe that you can really attack, and what would have effects through you must also have effects on you. It is the law that will ultimately save you, but you are misusing it now. You must therefore learn how it can be used for your own best interests rather than against them.
Because your attack thoughts will be projected, you will fear attack, and if you fear attack, you must believe that you are not invulnerable. Attack thoughts, therefore, make you vulnerable in your own mind, which is where the attack thoughts are. Attack thoughts and invulnerability cannot be accepted together. They contradict each other.
The idea for today introduces the thought that you always attack yourself. If attack thoughts must entail the belief that you are vulnerable, their effect is to weaken you in your own eyes. Thus, they have attacked your perception of yourself. And because you believe in them, you can no longer believe in yourself. A false image of yourself has come to take the place of what you are.
Practice with today's idea will help you to understand that vulnerability or invulnerability is the result of your own thoughts. Nothing except your thoughts can attack you. Nothing except your thoughts can make you think you are vulnerable. And nothing except your thoughts can prove to you that this is not so.
6 practice periods are required in applying today's idea. A full 2 minutes should be attempted for each of them. Although the time may be reduced to a minute if the discomfort's too great, do not reduce it further. The practice period should begin with repeating the idea for today, then closing your eyes, and reviewing the unresolved situations whose outcomes are causing you concern. The concern may take the form of depression, worry, anger, a sense of imposition, fear, foreboding, or preoccupation. Any problem as yet unsettled, which tends to recur in your thoughts during the day, is suitable for subject. You will not be able to use very many for any one practice period, because a longer time than usual should be spent with each one. Today's idea should be applied as follows. First, name the situation. I'm concerned about blank. Then go over every possible outcome which has occurred to you in that connection and which has caused you concern, referring to each one quite specifically, saying, I'm afraid blank will happen. If you're doing the exercises properly, you should have some 5 or 6 distressing possibilities available for each situation you use, and quite possibly more. It is much more helpful to cover a few situations thoroughly than to touch on a larger number.
As the list of anticipated outcomes for each situation continues, you will probably find some of them, especially those which occur to you toward the end, less acceptable to you. Try, however, to treat them all alike to whatever extent you can. After you have named each outcome of which you are afraid, tell yourself, that thought is an attack upon myself. Conclude each practice period by repeating today's idea once more.
My attack thoughts are attacking my invulnerability. And so it is. Let's join together again for just a brief moment of silence. Let's take another good deep breath. In the first paragraph, he says, it is the law this law that would ultimately save you. That's a pretty powerful statement, right? And what is that law? And it is that what would have effects through you must also have effects on you. If fear is coming through you, it's having an effect on you. If love is coming through you, it's having an effect on you. And that's the law that will save you. Attack thoughts about anything, and fear is always an attack thought. We see that, and we can see that when we start to begin to realize that anger is an attack thought, but underneath it is fear. We're afraid of something, or we're thinking with the mind of fear about some outcome. We're looking at the past and predicting a future, and we get angry. You know, we are judging the past and getting angry about something that's happened already and get angry. The anger is a defense because we're feeling fearful. What has effects through you must also have effects on you. If you're angry at anything or anyone, it's having an effect on you. It literally has an effect, as we now understand through quantum physics, on every cell in your body and everyone around you. You are an energy field, and it is massive. Seriously, it is quite massive. Your reach is far beyond your imagination, and certainly even what the eyes can see. And when we join together, two or more are joined, the power of our thoughts amplifies significantly. And it's having an effect on us when it comes through us. So this is an immutable law of truth. This is an immutable law of love. My attack thoughts are attacking my invulnerability. The truth is that you are invulnerable. Period, period, period. Invulnerable. You're not a body. When you sleep at night, you wake up and you realize that wasn't what you are. That sleeping self, having all those dreams, was not what you are. You were safe at home in bed the whole time. We can see that self, and we can see that it thought it was vulnerable to some attack or some situation in a nightmarish dream, but you woke up and realized you weren't vulnerable at all. If we can just translate that knowing, that truth, that easily recognized truth about ourselves to this experience, and we begin to see that this is also just a dream. Now, we're collaborating, all of us together, because we're all one mind, holding ourselves in this nightmarish dream. It appears nightmarish sometimes, but we are now looking to and have an opportunity to create a new reality here in form. We can call it heaven on earth, but it begins with us as individuals. But stepping away from even thinking and certainly believing that we are this body and we are this form and we are subject to sin and sickness and death and all the things that he's concerned with here, fear, foreboding, preoccupation, sense of imposition, depression, worry, anger. Those are all just constructs of fear, the fearful thinking self. But it is not what I am. This body has the name of Tony. It is not what I am. I am a perfect child of Christ, neither behind the point of perfection nor advancing toward it. Does that sound blasphemous? Maybe a little, to some who are unaware of their true knowing of who they are. You are God's perfect child. Temporary, playing the game, very temporarily, a tiny mad idea, a game of separation where we are here embroiled with each other in this illusory world. And then when we can begin to step away from the mind of fear, we can truly, because we are the energy of the Creator in action. If you have any doubt, look at your life. You've created it all. And now you have an opportunity to create heaven on earth. Mm. There is always good news in every lesson in A Course in Miracles.
And this one for me in particular didn't feel like good news. It felt painful. The years that I, truly did this lesson, and even more recently. So, for me, this was a sobering lesson. And I think that being given the word sobering is perfect, because it is almost like you become, an alcoholic is drinking, and the very substance that that one drinks is a poison, but they keep drinking it and they can't stop themselves. And sometimes it takes so long to even have the realization that the behavior is destructive. Mm. And even once that is found out, it is hard to let it go. And the insidious nature of a thought system mired in fear, and how far reaching it is in its subtlety as well as in its non-subtlety, is a collapse. Like when we do this lesson and we six times, a day for just 2 minutes, and just taking, for me, it always felt like I could only ever get one situation done in 2 minutes. I actually timed it to see, well, how long is 2 minutes, right? And some of the thoughts seem harmless, or they do seem, the overt ones are outward, but there are so many insidious ones and subtle ones that are really directed inward. Like it's less obvious. And, so it's like sobering. It's like one day at a time, one lesson at a time, one moment at a time, I look at the nature of this thought system and I realize it is not for me. And I am dismantling it thought by thought. And it seems onerous, perhaps at this point, but what ends up happening is you begin to see a pattern that how I think in one situation from the mind of fear is how I tend to think in all situations from the mind of fear. And so the situation becomes less important. I can just see the spiral into fear and attack and depression or whatever my tendency is. And you probably have your own pattern that this is revealing to us the telltale signs that I'm in my addiction. I'm in my fearfulness. I am in the thoughts of fear. And sometimes I can't even realize it until these telltale signs of, oh, I'm feeling angry, I'm feeling depressed, I'm feeling despair, I'm feeling hopelessness or disappointment or whatever. And so I think that the beauty of actually doing the lesson with the remembrance that this is also the law that ends up being our salvation is really important as well. So Tony and I have been, looking at some scientific data. And as we do so, when medical studies are being done, there's always a placebo group. And how interesting it is that the group that is receiving, a saline injection or a sugar pill, just based upon the belief that they are getting something that is helping them, gives an outcome very similar to those who are actually getting the medication. And so that's a positive impact. There's also a nocebo, a negative impact when you believe that you're getting something negative. And so it's the same law that is in operation. It just depends upon what you're putting in the hopper. Are you putting in thoughts of love or thoughts of fear? Thoughts of God or the egoic thoughts? And so this is helping us to see the insidious nature of the fearful thoughts. And it's also pointing to the driving desire of an ego and a human, our drive towards safety and the illusory way that we believe that we are safe in the world, which is to protect, which is to attack, which is, you know, those behaviors, when in truth, capital T truth, those things are really attacking ourselves. Mm. Now, we've all felt it. Like, for me, the easiest example is if I react while I'm driving to another driver in another vehicle in some way, whether I give a negative energy, whether I give, you know, a look, whether I give a gesture or a hand gesture, whether mm-hmm. I am somehow aggressive in some way. I don't know about you, but man, I immediately then feel afraid, like, oh, are they going to retaliate? And, you know, I've had that experience, and I bet you have too. The minute that you do something like that, you're immediately looking out for your safety. And so imagine that with every thought that you have, moment by moment, thought by thought. Our attack thoughts are attack upon ourselves. How kind and loving are we being to ourselves? And if we know that we are really the only ones out there anyway, if it's truly a reflective universe, and it is, I am ever only doing anything to myself because there's nothing else out there.
You know, you mentioned it's so subtle. We have these memes or we have these patterns, and I just want to quickly say, just watch yourself, watch your language. Mm. You know, if somebody says, well, I'm going to, you know, I'm heading to Nashville, or, you know, I'm heading to Omaha, or I'm going on vacation and I'm heading to, you know, Detroit, whatever. So, and then you say, oh, okay, well, have a safe trip, be safe. You may not realize it, but that's an attack. Mm. Because there's nothing to be safe from. Mm. And so you're actually projecting there's something to worry about. Mm-hmm. And a worry thought is an attack thought. Mm-hmm. My attack thoughts mm-hmm. are attacking my vulnerability.
And our natural state is invulnerability.
Our natural state is invulnerable.
So there's nothing to keep safe.
There's nothing to keep safe.
We already are.
You already are perfectly safe. You are an extension of the mind of God. You're not in a body. If you can think, if you can imagine, every time you go to sleep at night, you've had a different body. Mm-hmm. It's a different incarnation. Mm-hmm. And how many thousands of times have you done that in this lifetime? And you may have had thousands of lifetimes. Mm-hmm. You may have had millions of incarnations. You're not an incarnation.
It's just an experience.
It's just an expression. It's a vehicle of expression. Mm-hmm. Temporary. Very temporary.
Yeah.
So let's watch our language. Let's take 6 practice periods, just 12 minutes today, and let's watch those thoughts. And you might be surprised. I'm certainly surprised when I do these lessons with devoted intention at what my little chattering mind is telling me very subtly, almost on a continuous basis. My fearful thoughts are attacking. They're attacking my invulnerability. And so it is.
Stay the course.
Stay the course.
Forgive us our illusions, Father, and help us to accept our true relationship with you, in which there are no illusions and where none can ever enter. Our holiness is yours. What can there be in us that needs forgiveness when yours is perfect? The sleep of forgetfulness is only the unwillingness to remember your forgiveness and your love. Let us not wander to temptation, for the temptation of the Son of God is not your will,
and let us receive only what you have given, and accept but this into the minds which you created and which you love. Amen.
I send my love over the mountains. I send my love over the sea.